Okay, today's daf is Beitza daf Chav Hey. We are holding two lines from the top in daf Chav Hey. Again, want to thank Alicia very, very much for saying the shir while I was gone over the course of Yantif. And let us begin. We started Ein Sadin. Today is the second daf in Ein Sadin, where the Gemara talks about the issue of Tzedah, the issue of trapping on Yantif. So we're going to have a little bit of Halacha today in Ein Sadin, but also a little bit of Agadita on Amud Beis, if I recall correctly. So let's get started. So says the Gemara, two lines from the top. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So says Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Hasocher Amas Hamayim. If someone closes up the opening to a little pool of water, Me'er of Yomtov, from before Yantiv, in order that no more fish can enter on Yantiv. So there's this little pool of water where fish can always go in, but if you close it off before Yantiv, then you're pretty sure that whatever fish you find there are going to be fish that were there the whole time. Ulamacha, then on Yantiv, Hishkim, a guy gets up early, umatza badagim, and he finds fish in the water, mutarin. So those fish are certainly mutar. They're definitely not muktza, because those fish didn't come in on Yantif. They were already prepared from before Yantif. These are the ones that were there from before Yantif. It's also not an isra of tzeda, because fish in a small pool of water are not mechusar tzeda. The definition of melacha of tzeda is that if something needs further trapping, then it's a violation of tzeda to go and trap it. But if it doesn't need any further trappings, it's already in a very small area, so it doesn't require any further trapping. The tzlach is bothered by the lashon of hishkim. Why is it hishkim u'matzah badagim? That he gets up early and he finds fish. So the tzlach sees in the word hishkim that the emphasis is on the fact that he didn't know that the fish were there before Yantif. Meaning, we're not talking about a case where he necessarily counted how many fish there were, looked at the fish, saw what there was before Yantif, said, these are the fish that I'm going to use on Yantif. No, all he did was he closed off the pool. So he didn't know what was necessarily in the pool. So hishkim umatza means that he gets up the next morning and that's the very first time that he finds that there's actually fish there. He doesn't know for sure that there's fish there. But afal pi kein, they're not muktza. Meaning, one might have thought that in that situation they're muktza, because how can you say he designated them before Yantif if he didn't know what was there before Yantif? No, even though he had no idea what was there before Yantif, it's still called that he designated them before Yantif, because he had done this maisa to close off that pool of water and not allow any new fish to enter. Amar Rav Chista midiver Rabbeinu. Rav Chista says, "Oh, well, we see from Rav who says that closing off this pool of water and making sure no fish come in on Yantif, that that's called hazmana, that that's called preparing these fish for the sake of Yantif, and therefore is not a violation of muksa. So midiver Rabbeinu Nilmud, from that we learn that chaya shekinina, that if you have a wild animal, a deer or something, that goes in nests, bipardes, in the middle of a guarded area, of an orchard which normally has fences around it and is therefore guarded, but the fences typically are not enough to keep a regular chaya out, or to keep a regular chaya in, rather, meaning the fences are not something that would really trap, let's say, a giraffe, or any sort of chaya inside the fence, but a baby chaya, that will be trapped inside the fence. So if the chaya goes in and births inside this fence, so the baby that's going to be born, ein sricha zimun. Those vlados do not require zimun, because since they're very small, they're not able to run away. They're in a guarded area, so they're not mechutzer tzeda. So if they're not mechutzer tzeda, it must be that they're not considered muktza, that they don't require any further zimun. Now, they have any further designation or preparation, but the mother, which is a little bit bigger, obviously, and can get out since it's able to be bareach, so it's considered to be mechusar seida. And even if you were mazmin them, even if you did designate the mother from before Yantif, still won't help, because then it is still a violation of seida. So that's not going to work for the mother, but for the child, it should be okay. Based on the statement of Rabba Rav Huna Marav, meaning this should be no different than the fish, says Rav Chista. So I'm Rav Nachman, who was also a Talmud of Rav, and therefore was a Chaver of Rav Chista. So that's what Rashi points out. Midiv Rabbeinu, Rashi points out, Rabbeinu is Rav, the Shloshtan, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, Rav Nachman, the Karele Rav Chis Chavrin, Talmidim Shal Rav Havu, that these three were Talmidim of Rav, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, Rav Nachman, were all Talmidim of Rav. So far we have a comment of Rav Chista about about what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, and Rav Nachman comments on Rav Chista's comment that Nafal Chavrin b'Rav Ravasa, that our friend Rav Chista has stumbled in a very grave matter, meaning when he tries to make this tzustel, when he tries to compare a fish that's caught in a small pond of water to a chaya that's nesting in a pardes, so he's getting involved in a very big machlokas where there are very big kashas that people could ask on him in the Beis Medrash, and before Rav Nachman goes out and explains what exactly the kasha you could ask on Rav Chista is, he gives a different lashon. The Gemara first gives, the Gemara brings another lashon of who the Bala Memra of the Chaya, about the Chaya Shekinna Bepardes was. Meaning the first lashon we had was that it was Rav Chista, and that's where Rav Nachman is criticizing. But Ikada Amri, others say that it wasn't Rav Chista that said it, rather Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Midiver Rabbeinu Nilmod Chaya Shekinna Bepardes in Etzricha Zimun. So that it was Rabba Bar Rav Huna who says that we see from Rav, meaning Rabba Rav Huna, who was the original Bal Meimra, who quoted Rav in the first place about the fish, he's the one that comments on his own, and he makes that connection and says that the same thing should be true about a Chaya Shekinna Bepardes, about the wild beast that nests inside of the guarded Pardes. So Amar Rav Nachman Nafal Bar Chavrin. So now Rav Nachman says the son of my Chaver is Nafal Barav Ravasa. Why is it Bar Chavrin? Because again, as Rashi pointed out, who were the three Talmidim? They were Rav Huna, Rav Chista, and Rav Nachman. So in the first Lashon, it was Rav Chista who had made the comments. That's Chavrin. That was his colleague. But now it was Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rav Huna was also his colleague. Rabba Bar Rav Huna was Bar Chavrin, was the son of his colleague. But it's the same comment. So what is the problem? What's the problem with the comparison between the case of the Chaya on the one hand and the case of the fish, on the other hand? So says Mar Hasam, when it comes to the Chaya, even if it's in a guarded area, but lo kavod maisa, you didn't do any maisa of zimun on Erev Yantif. You didn't do anything to designate this animal as an animal that you're interested in using on Yantif. Hacha kavod maisa, but by the Amas Hamayim, you closed off the Amas Hamayim, so there was some action involved to prepare it for Yantif. So you can't learn from the fact that closing off an Amas Hamayim makes it not muktza, that if a Chaya just happens to set itself up for birthing in your pardes, that the vlad is not going to be muksa on Yantif. The vlad could still be asr mishum muksa. So even though we ask the Gemara asks misvara, aside from the question misvara, the Gemara adds we could also ask from based on our brisa. So the Gemara says that v'lo baya zimun, is it really true that you want to suggest that a chaya shekinna bepardes is not going to require zimun? Forgetting the question from svara, v'atanya, we have a brisa that says otherwise. Chaya shekinna bepardes tzrichel lezam. I mean, that if a chaya sets itself up for birthing in a pardes, so it needs zimun. You need to designate the vlados on erev yantif for something that you want to use, that you're going to want to use them. Vitzipor drawer, and also if you have a bird that sets itself up on erev yantif when it's still very small and it can't fly yet, so tzarich likshar biknafeha, you would need to tie its wings in order to make a simon that's the bird that you're designating for use on yantif. Kadesha apparently it's Sipor Drar. One of its unique characteristics is that even the mother is very small, and therefore it could easily be confused for its own offspring. So you might look at the mother and think that it's the offspring. So normally Zimun alone would be enough. You just take a look at the animal that you want and say, okay, I'm designating this for Yantif use. But you can't necessarily say that if you're not going to be able to identify that animal the next day. So you have to tie something on it in order to tie its wings together so that you will know which animal it was that you designated the previous day. Vizue, but that's not the point that we're trying to draw from this brisa. The real point we're trying to draw from the brisa is the first half, that chay shekin impardes that tzrichel lezamein. Vizue edus she'idu mipi shmai v'avtalion. And this is the edus that they said over in the name of shmai v'avtalion. So tiyufta, so therefore Rav Chista in the first lashon, or Rabba Rav Huna, according to the Ikad Amri, are tiyufta. We have a major problem with what they said. That they said that a chayah shekinah bepardes does not require zimun. Here you have beferish in the brisa that you do need to be mezamin. You do need to designate from before you unto a chayah shekinah bepardes. But now the Gemara is going to say, yeah, we have a brisa that goes against them, but we also have a brisa that seems to support them. Meaning we could ask on in the other direction on the brisa that says the chayah shekinah bepardes does require zimun. Umi by zimun. You want to say that it does require zimun? Vatanya, Amr Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Modim Beisham Beis Hillel. Beisham Beis Hillel, who disagree in the Mishnah and Daf Yiram Ralef, when it comes to designating doves on Erev Yontif, whether you need to actually pick them up, lift them, and say, this is the one I want to use Yontif, or is it just enough to just point to it and say it? But everyone agrees that you do need some sort of zimun. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that they agree that they, meaning that both Beisham and Beis Hillel agree. Al shezminan b'toch hakan u'matzah shel lifnei hakan shasurin. That if that the Mishnah had said on Daf Yilam Beis that when it comes to doves that you were mazmin from erev yantiv, but they were inside the kan, and then you come and you find them on yantiv, and they're on a plank in front of the nest, then we're definitely they're definitely going to be asur, because we're choshesh that maybe the ones that you were mazmin in advance flew away, and these are different ones that you were never mazmin, so that. In that situation, it's definitely going to be aser. So Rav Shimon Elazar points out, but medvar mamurim. When do we say you need to be mazmin them from erev yantiv? Be yonei shavach v'yonei aliyah. Those are the yonim that are in the shavchos or in the aliyos habatim. V'tziparim shekinenu, meaning they're wild birds. V'tziparim shekinenu b'tfichinu b'bira, and the birds that nest in tfichin and b'bira in these little holes that they have in the towers for build where the birds can build their nests. So in all these cases, even though they're small and they're small and they're not able to fly, they're only able to hop around. But you definitely didn't intend to designate them before yantif. Avalavazim v'tarnagolim, but domesticated kinds of birds, geese and chickens that grow up in your chatzer, v'yoni hardesios and types of doves also that grow in the batim, v'chaya shekinna bepardes, or a chaya shekinna bepardes. And again, this is the key line, a chaya shekinna bepardes. This is the line that we're looking for, because this is what the whole topic is about. If you have a wild beast that nests in your pardes on erev yantiv, mutarin ve'ein tzrichin zimun. They're mutarin, it doesn't require any sort of zimun, because it's not mechusar tzeda, and it's considered muchan, and therefore it's perfectly fine. So you see that this brisa goes against the previous brisa. So aside from the fact that we had a kasha on Rabbi Rav Huna / Rav Chista with regard to Svara, we also thought that there was a brisa against them, but now it's not so clear, because there's also a brisa that supports them. But aside from the fact that that there's a brisa that supports them, we also have a stira in brisas now, so we're going to have to contend with the stira in brisas as well. So Rav Shimon also just points out additionally with regard to Zimun, v'tzipor dror, the small bird that's not able to fly, tzricha l'kasha b'ima. You also need to tie its wings in order that it shouldn't be confused for its mother, because it's very similar to its mother. And any bird that's tied up by its wings, which is a simon that you're mazmin from beforehand, and those that don't have tied up wings, but you actually handled them the previous day l'shem zimun, and you recognize them without any simon, if you're able to identify that this is the bird that I picked up yesterday and that I designated yesterday, and any place that's mechuber mutarin, you're allowed to take them on yantif. But if they're in the trees, then they're going to be asked to take on yantif, even if they fall on their own, because we're afraid that you might go up to the tree, you might climb up the tree and detach something from mechuber lekarka, which is going to be a malacha that's asked to do on yantif. So meaning there could be additional issues to contend with. Rabbi Shimon Elazar is identifying an additional issue that to contend with when taking birds, aside from the tzeda issue and aside from the mukta issue. You also have to worry about malacha sometimes, because sometimes the bird can be in an unusual spot. It could be not unusual for a bird in a spot that's up in a tree somewhere, and climbing up a tree is going to be a violation of an issur d'rabbanon of a gzeira, shemi yalav yitlosh, a gzeira that a person might come up to take to detach left something from Mechubar. So it says the Vamukushar and Vamunayin, but if Reuven sees that Shimon took something from Hefker, small birds, and he tied them, or he shook them up, or he moved them in some way, Bekal Makom, wherever he put them, even without his Rishos, Asurin, Mishum Gezel, they're usher to take Mishum Gezel, because if Shimon went and he tied them, or he moved them, and he was Kona Bagba, because Hefker, you could be Kona with Agba. So even though he put them in a place where a lot of people can reach them, we don't say that he was Nisiyayish from them. We don't assume that he gave up hope of ever retrieving them. So therefore, they're considered to belong to Shimon, because he was Kona them with Agba. So if you look at Tosos, Amukshar, Nasurim, Bekom Lakom, Negezel, Pirish Rashi, Shah, Rishon, Kona, Son, Ba'agba. The way I'm explaining it is the way Rashi says that the first one was koned with Agba Veloni Hira to Lo Shaykhan Agba Kedamrinon to Habata Kona Behafker Holm Nasase Kubem Ktsas. So this tells us I don't think you even need to have Agba over here. Even when it comes to Hefker, Habata is Kona with Hefker. What's Habata? Just looking at it, even seeing it, is enough to be Kona Hefker. That you don't need to actually be Magbia at all in order to be Kona from Hefker. So the question is, why would that be the case? Where do we ever find that Habata is Kona? Meaning, why would Hefker be different than anything else? So the Rishonim explained that when it comes to Hefker, the assumption is that a lesser kinyan may be necessary than a normal type of kinyan. Because a normal kinyan has to do more. A normal kinyan, when Reuven is being kona from Shimon, so the kinyan has to not only put it into the Rishus of Reuven, it has to take it out of the Rishus of Shimon. But in a case where a person is Kona from Hefker, so it doesn't have to take it out of anyone's Rishus, you only have to be Machnis it into somebody's Rishus. So since the Kinyan doesn't need to do as much, it would seem that we therefore allow for a lesser form of Kinyan. So the Kinyan of a Habata alone would be a good enough Kinyan. This is almost like the flip side of what we say by Ketanim, that a Katan on a Daraisa level cannot be Kona from Hefker, but he can only be Kona when it's someone else that's being Makna to him, and there's a Das Acheres Makna. If a Katan is being Kona from somebody else, so the Das Acheres enables the Katan to make the Kinyan. So that's in spite of the fact that being Kona from Hefker is a lesser action than being Kona from somebody else. But the reason that's so by the Katan is because he has help. You don't need only his das, meaning when someone else is being makna to him. You have the other person's das who's trying to give it to him. So that person's das makes a difference and enables the katan to be kona. But when you're dealing with a bar das to begin with, in terms of the action that's necessary to remove something from Hefker, you don't need as significant of an action as you would in order to remove something from someone else's possession. So at the end of the day, this is the end of the Brisa of Shimon Elazar. Bottom line is, the Brisa says that does not require zimun. So this is a kasha in the brisa of Shmaya and Naftali. That's a stira in the two brisas. So the Gemara answers, Am Rav Nachman lo kasha. One brisa is not a kasha in the other brisa. Ha ba, the brisa of Rav Shimon and Elazar speaks about the actual offspring, the bas of the chaya that went and nested in your pardes, that since it's very small and it's not able to run away, so you clearly intended to use it and it does not require zimun. And ha be'ima, the brice of Shmaya and Naftali, where they said that it requires an active zimun, that's talking about the mother, that since it's larger and it's able to run away, so you need zimun. So the Gemara says, ima be'zimun sagila. What do you mean you need zimun on the mother? How could the brice say you need zimun? The zimun alone would not be enough on the mother. The mother's able to be boreach. The mother's able to run away if it wants. So tzedem al yusabaya. You should require tzedem al yusay. You should require a real trapping in order to be able to use the mother. So the Gemara says, okay, we have to answer the brisa in a different way. Both of the brisas are talking about the offspring, which is very small and is not able to run away. And the chiluk between the two brisas is as follows. Ha begina hasmucha li'ir, the brisa of Shimon Elazar speaks about a gina that's near the city, and you knew about an Erev Yantiv, and therefore you already set your mind to it, and it's considered already mucha an Erev Yantiv. And ha begina shenasmucha, the brisa of Shmaya Naftalion, talks about a garden that's not so close to the city. So since you didn't know about the presence of this animal in Erev Yontif, so you didn't have das for it, and therefore it's going to require a zimun. But by the mother, of course, even if you knew about an Erev Yontif, you're not going to be allowed to take it on Yontif because it's considered mechusar tzeda. Zimun is not going to help for the sake of the mother. Okay, new Mishnah now. We are holding again at the fourth line now, in the fourth of the medium-sized lines, or the larger lines, and daf chafhei amud aleph. So once we learned in the previous Mishnah the way that you're allowed to trap in a permissible way on Yontif, so our Mishnah deals with ways that you're allowed to shecht an animal, even if you don't necessarily need it for onag Yontif. For example, behema mesukedes. So why would you want to shecht an animal if you don't need it for your Yontif meals? You're already taken care of as far as Yontif meals. You have a behema mesukedes. You have an animal that's dangerously ill, and you're afraid that it's going to die. Now, if it dies on its own, it's going to be an avela, and it's going to be a significant loss of money. You're never going to be able to use any of this meat. So you don't want it to die on its own. You want to be able to shecht it. The only thing is, you already had your Yontif meal. You're not so hungry anymore, and you're not on some Pesach program in a hotel where there's no limit to what you can eat. So you're not that hungry. You're not going to be able to eat a full meal. So lo yishchot. So the halach is you're not allowed to shecht it. El in kain yeshuhus biyom lechol mimena kazayis tzli. Unless there's enough time still in the day of Yontif to eat from it a kazayis of meat that's roasted. So you don't have to have enough time to actually cook it. As long as you can eat it roasted, that's good enough. The roasting is the easiest and quickest way to prepare it for food. That's not considered arama, because since he's afraid that he's going to lose the animal, he'll be gomer bedaito to eat a kazayas of it without any sort of haram. I mean, we don't assume that this is just some trick that he's playing in order to be able to shecht the animal, because he's actually going to eat it. He will, if you tell him he's got to eat a kazayas tzli in order not to lose this whole animal, in order to not to lose all this meat, he will be more than happy to eat a kazayas tzli. So he's shechting it al daskin to actually eat it. So even if he doesn't actually eat it in the end of the day, we're not worried about that. We don't consider that to be a harama. The shechita is still considered to be Litzorach Alchol Nefesh. And it's Dafka by a Musukenis that we allowed it because of Hefsin Mamon. But a Bria, but an animal that's healthy, we're not going to allow shechting it if you don't, in fact, end up eating it. That's what the Rishonim point out. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tav Tzadiches, that even if you want to eat from it a kazayis, it's Aser because it's Haram. I mean, once you already had your Yontif meal, even if you do think you can eat a kazayis of it, it's too late to go shechting animals once you already had the Yontif meal. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Afilu kezayis chai mi beis tzvi chasa. You don't even need to leave enough time to roast it. Even if there was enough time in the day to eat a kezayis of raw meat from the animal, from the area where you shecht the animal, so you don't have enough time to wait for skinning the entire animal. You only have enough time to take a kezayis from the place where you shechted it, which is open anyway, because you just sliced it open and eat it like that, even that's going to be motzah, because Rabbi Kiva assumes that you gomer b'daita to eat it even raw if that's what you need to do. Shchata b'sada, let's say you shechted a new halacha, you shecht an animal that's mesukenes out in the field because you're afraid it's going to die, so lo yiviena, you're not allowed to bring it to your house when you bimot on a stick through someone else, ubimota, or a mota when you have two people carrying it on a stick, because it's that's considered to be a zilzul yantif, maybe be other way, varim. But you yourself can go bring it one limb at a time from wherever it is that you shechted it. So says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, Hefshet v'nituach ba'ola, that the pasuk tells us about the carbon ola, that's all achilas kavod, that all goes on the mizbech, that we do hefshet v'nituach, that we skin it and we dismember it, we cut it up into its different parts. V'hu adin lakatzavim, and we can learn from there for regular butchers who are preparing meat for regular people to eat. So mikandim the Torah daracheretz. From here we see from the carbonola the Torah teaches us daracheretz. Shlo yochel adam basar kodem hefshet v'nituach. That it's inappropriate typically to eat meat before you've skinned and butchered the entire animal. I mean, your person shouldn't be so ravenous and so gluttonous that as soon as he shechts the animal, he's going to cut out pieces of meat from the beis hashchita and eat from there before he skins and prepares the entire animal. So my kamash, once the Gemara says, what's Rami Bar Chama teaching me? He's trying to tell me that it's only derech eretz to be knowing this way, or is he trying to tell me that there's an iser bedavar, meaning when he says mikandem the Torah derech eretz, is that just midos tovos? That's the nice way a person is supposed to behave, or is there some sort of iser that what sort of iser would there be that if you eat before you skin it and before you look at all the different parts of the animal, you may discover later on that it's going to be a trefa, and it turns out that because you weren't bodek for trefas because you were so hungry, so then you violated an iser, you ate a trefa. So maybe that's the concern. If he's coming to tell me not to say like Rav Huna, because Rav Huna holds that a behemoth during its lifetime is considered to be becheskas iser because it's becheskas ever menachai ad sheivadulach b'manishchata, until you know that it was shechted necessarily properly. So nafkamina that if there's a suffix in its shechita, we assume that it's becheskas iser and it's aser. So nishchata, but once it's shechted becheskas heteromedes, once you know you did a proper shechita. So the chazaka is that stam behemos are not trefos. So nafkamina would be if you then later find a hole in its lung or something like that, you could assume that it happened after the shechita and it's still kosher, or maybe you have to assume that it happened before the shechita and it should be aser. So the halacha would be that you would go with the chazaka. So unless you know that it happened before the shechita, you have the right to assume that it happened after the shechita, because once it's shechted, the chazaka is that it's becheska shechuta. So Rami Bar Abba comes to be cholik on Rav Huna and say that no, even achash nishchita, there still is no cheskas heter, and you're not going to be allowed to eat it until you skin it and dismember it and actually check it for all the trefos. So Gemara says that can't be the case because va'anantan masnis and gedrav huna, that we learned that like Rav Huna, that after you shecht it, it's becheskas heter. It's none. The Mishnah says beferish that about a mesukemes, Rabbi Kiva Omer afilu kazayis chayim beis tvichasa, that Rabbi Kiva says if you have even enough time just to eat a kazayis of raw meat from the place where you shecht the animal, my love me beis tvichasa mamish, doesn't this mean the place where you on the neck of the animal, if you could just pull out a gazayas of meat before you ever skinned anything, before you did anything? So you see clearly that Rav Huna is correct, that we assume that once you shechted it, that's becheskas kosher, that without doing the bedika of all the simanim of trefas, you're allowed to rely and you're allowed to assume that it's kosher. So it can't be that it's a halacha that you lo yachlo de basar kodem hefshet v'nituach. It must be that it's only derech eretz. So Gemara says, nah, you don't really have a raya from Rabbi Akiva. Lo, makom shetovachas achilasa, that Rabbi Akiva didn't mean to say the makom ashkita, he meant the place where you butcher it, meaning the where the bnei me'ayim, where the you cut out the meat from for eating. So Rabbi Akiva is speaking after hefshet v'nituach, and Rami Bar Chama and Rami Bar Abba therefore might be coming lafuke midravuna. So Gemara says va'tani Rabbi Chia mimakom tvichasa mamish, but that can't be because that Rabbi Chia learned that our Mishnah is b'makom tvichasa mamish, that it's literally makom tvichasa. Ella, so rather the Gemara says Rami Bar Abba orech ara kamashulan. It must be that Rami Bar Abba is just teaching me midos of derech eretz, that it's teaching me that just like the Torah says by the Korban Olah, that it's derech eretz, that a person that the mizbeach does not eat the meat, so to speak, you don't burn any of the parts of the mizbeach till you do hefshet v'nituach. So too, when it comes to a person, it's midos derech eretz, that if a person is in a rush to eat, don't be in such a rush to eat that a person should be so eager to eat that he's going to eat before they skin the animal and check for any sorts of trefos. So we find Tanayim that learn Hilchos Derech Eretz that a person should not be like a Ravtan, that a person should not look like he's a glutton. We find it Kedetani, we find in the following Brisa, in Maseches Derech Eretz, and when it comes to how to eat certain vegetables that like a shum and a batzel, where they're root vegetables, they're attached to the ground, so the rosh is the part that's under the ground, and the other part that sticks out of the ground, it says lo yochal adam shum batzel me rosho, don't eat from the tzad of the rosh, don't start from the part without removing the leaves first that are on the other side that stick out of the ground, ella me olav, you should start eating it from the side of the leaves, which just means remove the leaves before you actually eat the bulb of the onion, v'yemachal, and if you eat it from the rosh, hareza raftan, so that's considered to be a gluttonous thing to do, that's considered considered to be not proper derech haritz kayotzei bo. And a similar note, lo yishta adam koso bebas achas v'im shasah harizah gargaron. A person shouldn't drink his kos all at one time, and if he does drink his kos all at one time, that's considered to be a gargaron. We assume to be that's considered to be someone also who's gluttonous, because he looks that he's in such a rush to drink up. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa that teaches us about how to drink a kos properly. Hashos a koso, if someone has a kos that holds a revius, let's say bevas achas, he eats it all, drinks it all at one time in one gulp, hareza gargaron. So that's considered inappropriate. That looks like he's gluttonous. Shnayim, if he drinks it at two times, daracharetz, that's appropriate. He drinks two sips of revius and two sips, that's perfectly fine. Shlot, we assume mulo lugmav is a rov revius, right? So if he fills up a cheekful in two sips, he's going to get a whole revius. So that will be perfectly fine. Shlosha migas ruach, but if he drinks it in three sips, that's considered to be like kase ruach. That's to walk around cradling the drink the whole time and just taking little sips. That's considered to be a derech gaiva. That's a derech of a bal gaiva to walk around that way. Or to drink in that way, rather. So, because he's doing different than everybody else does. That's not the normal way to drink. So now the Gemara is going to quote another statement of Rav Bar Abba, which is a toch to Rishayim that don't learn Musar from different vegetables to straighten out their behaviors. V'amar Rami Bar Abba, Chatsuva, a plant that's called the Chatsuva, which whose roots go straight down into the depth of the ground and they don't spread out in different directions, Mekater Raglaun de Rishiyaya, is going to cut off the legs of the Rishayim, which means in the Yom HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to the Rishayim, what's the Rosh going to say? He's going to say, I never had an opportunity to learn Torah. So how did I know how to act like a mensch? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be able to point to nature and say, you should have learned from the Bria itself how to act like a mensch. You should have been able to look like the Gemara Nerevin says, that we would have learned various midos from different animals. We could have learned sneos from certain animals, and we could have learned just from looking at nature around us. So he said, you could have looked at this plant and known not to be masa gvul, because here's a plant that never goes beyond its border. They would have set up a chatsuva on a border, because it goes straight down. The roots only go straight down. So that's going to be the musr for the rishayim. Netia, planting of trees, where the Torah says you have to wait 3 years before you could eat any of the peros. That's the din of arla. Mekatei raglayim the ketzvaya is going to be the big musr for people who are shochet behemos when they face their yom hadin, because a lot of times they eat from the behemoth before they skin the animal, and they don't wait for it to be a trefa. So you see from the din of Orla, we learn the virtue of patience, that sometimes you just have to wait. You just have to wait 3 years before you could enjoy any of the peros. And with the ba'alei nidos, it's also going to be the musr for the ba'alei nidos. Why is someone ba'al, his wife, when she's a nida? Because he doesn't have the patience. He doesn't wait until she's not a nida anymore. It's like ochel matzah b'erev Pesach, kabbalah resasa beis chamav, that kind of concept where a person doesn't have the patience to wait till the appropriate zman. So that we're going to learn from the din of Arla. Termusa, which is a type of bean that starts off very bitter and needs to be cooked 7 times in order to get its sweetness, Mekatei Raglan de Sanei Shal Yisrael, is going to be the ultimate musr for Klal Yisrael. Shenemar v'yisifu b'nei Yisrael la'asos ra b'nei Hashem v'yavdu es habalim v'es ha'ashtoros v'es Elohei Aram v'es Elohei Tzidon v'es Elohei Mo v'es Elohei b'nei Amon v'es Elohei Plishtim v'yazvu es Hashem v'lo aveduhu. So it says after 7 times of 7 different avodah zaras, they abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they don't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see from there, that's the 7 cookings. The 7 times we worship avodah zara are the 7 cookings, and we're still not sweet enough. We're still abandoning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should learn Musa that at least after 7 times of trying avodah zara, we should at least learn to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally. So now the Gemara, since Rami Bar Abba darshan the pasuk and Sefer Shoftim, the Gemara is going to quote a maimer of Rabbi Lazar about the end of that pasuk. So mashmash number of Yazva Hashem in your Deish Lovedu. Pasuk says they abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I don't know that they're obviously not serving him. So matam alomer of Lovedu. Why does pasuk have to say Lovedu? Amar Blazer Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying Lovedu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking that Afilu Ketomer says Shulchan Os Hashem Bam Malchan Os Bikinuach Suda La Suni Bini. They don't even treat me like this bean that you could cook 7 times and then you'll be able to eat it as dessert because it's going to be so sweet. At least after 7 times of cooking it, it's going to be fine. My children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't even treat me like that. After abandoning me 7 times, they still don't come back to me. So once we mention the stubbornness of Klal Yisrael, so we're going to bring a member of our mayor about about the Azus of Klal Yisrael. So Tanim Shoyed Rameir, Minei Man Nitin the Torah Yisrael, Minei Shein Azin. Why was the Torah given to Klal Yisrael? Because Klal Yisrael has this Midah of Azus. We're extremely stubborn, we're extremely strong-willed. So the way Rashi understands it is, we need Torah to sort of calm us down, to sort of make us normal, because otherwise we would just be so difficult, to such a difficult people to deal with. Tanim Dabei Rabbi Shmuel, Mimino Eish Das Lamo, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ru'in Alalu, Shatinasin Lahem Das Eish, that these people should be given a law of Eish, of fire, and through that, that would burn down their Azus a little bit. That would adjust us in the proper direction, away from this sense of stubbornness. Ikeda Amri, others say that Dasehem Shaleilu, that the nature of this people of Klal Yisrael is Eish, is that they are we're strong willed like Eish. Shalmali Nitnatarul Yisrael in Kolum of Lashon Yicholim Lamu Bifneim, because had the Torah not been given to Klal Yisrael, no one would be able to withstand us because of our great Azus, of that Midah that Klal Yisrael has. The Marsha doesn't understand the original statement in such a negative way. I mean, the way we translate, and the way it sounds from the context of the Gemara, the way Rashi translates it, is that we need the Torah to calm down our Azus, because our Azus is just totally out of control. The Marsha understands that the Azus is a good thing, that after all the suffering and all the persecution that we've had over the years, that we still serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're stubborn in our beliefs. We still insist that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomer Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, and that there's going to be a Geula, and there's going to be, that's the Azus of Klal Yisrael, and that's why we deserve the Torah, because we're still going to remain loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in spite of all the curses of the Tochacha coming true. That's how the Marsha understands it. V'ayinadom Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Shlosha Azinin. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says that there are three things in the Bria that are Az. Yisrael Bu'umos, Yisrael amongst the nations. Kelev Bachayos, a dog amongst the beasts. Tarnagol Ba'ofos, and a chicken amongst the birds. Yeshomrim Af Az, and some say even a goat, Bibehemadaka, amongst small animals. Yeshom Af Tzlaf Be'ilonos, and some say Tzlaf amongst the trees. Rashi says about the Tzlaf, I have no idea what it is about the Tzlaf that makes it so Az, that makes it so strong-willed. But something about the Tzlaf that makes it very very Az. Rashi doesn't know what it is. Tos quotes from the Tosefta, because it makes three peros, Olin of Yonos and Kafrisin, and it's Toin peros Bechol Yom, as opposed to other trees. So they have different interpretations, and the Rishonim have different explanations of what it is. So Shchata Besada, the Mishnah had said that if you shecht an animal out in the field, lo yiviyana b'mot, you're not allowed to bring it into the city on your shoulders, carrying it on your shoulders. The reason is because that's considered to be a zilzul yantif. That's the way you would normally carry it on a weekday. So Tan Rabbanan, Eina Suma Yotzim Makalo, a blind man cannot walk out with his walking stick on yantif to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Lo ro b'tarmilo. And you're not allowed to have a person carried on a chair, whether it be a man or a woman, on top of a chair, because that was the way they would go out on a weekday. So says Mar Eini, is this really so? Is it also to carry a person when he's sitting on a chair? They would have a zakin that they would carry out on a chair. If it was appropriate, and he said mutter. He said if people need him in the Beis Medrash, so it's mutter to carry him out that way. And the Rabbi Seinu were somech on the words of Achi Shakya, which is the name of the person who says that I carried him. I carried Rav Huna on such a chair on Yantif. Mihini lishili umishili lihini, in great distances. So I'm sorry from close areas. I would carry Mar Shmuel from the sun to the shade, or the shade to the sun. So it says Mar Hasam, by all those cases, Kedamertaima Imayram Tzrichim Lo Mutter. No, that's not a riot, because in those cases it was a situation of Rab Tzrichim Lo, and therefore was Mutter. Amalei Rav Nachman Lecham Barada Shliach Tzion, Lecham Barada was known as Shliach Tzion. He slikas lahasum, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Akif Vizil, go through a lot of different paths to get there. Asul Medetzur, through the pass of the mountain called Sur, Vizil Gabei to Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, and go to Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, who lives there. Ubaymine, make sure you take the path that goes through his house, it goes through his town, and ask him Kisei Maotunbe, what do you hold about the Kisei? Adazalas, when he went there, Nachnafshe to Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Rabbi Yaakov was already dead. Kisalik, so when he continued, Ashkel Rabbi Zreika, he found Rabbi Zreika. Amalei Kisei Maotunbe, so he says, what do you hold about the Kisei? Amalei Hachi Amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, Mutur B'vachle Yikatif, as long long as you don't hold the person on your shoulders. Mayo vashli katef, amar v'yasubed rava, ba'alunki, that you don't put your arm on the other person's shoulders and his arm on your shoulder and hold the kisei over your arms. Say, Eini, is this really so? Rav Nachman Sharal l'yalta l'mepaka alunki, he allowed his wife Yalta to go out on alunki on Yantiv in this way. Says, Mar Shaini Yalta to be Isa. She was afraid, so she needed a little extra security. Ameim razuch mekatfi l'bishabata derigla, they would carry on their shoulders in Beis Medrash on the Shabbos of the Yantiv, Mishum Biyasusa, because Ameim Razutra were afraid from the Tzibur that they were going to stand in front of them, and they were afraid they were going to fall down. Va'amrila Mishum Ducha de Tzibur, and some say because of the Torech of the Tzibur that was standing in front of them, so not to be Matriach of the Tzibur, they would be carried in this way in order to get them there as quickly as possible. It was only in those circumstances that they allowed it. Okay, Beth Shem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.